On this fifth Sunday in Lent, we continue our theme of Tell Me Something Good, learning alongside our children in church school about the good news that Jesus shares in his ministry and how it can inspire us to live our lives. Today, we remember the story of the first Palm Sunday, as told in the Gospel of Mark. Let us open our ears, minds, and imaginations and join the processional into Jerusalem. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'Its master needs it,' and he will send it back right away." They went and found a colt tied to a gate outside of the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told him just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. After he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with the 12. For the good news of Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. God of new beginnings and old endings, as we wave our palms and as we say, "Hosanna," hear our prayer. Save us. We ask that you would give us a sense of your eternal presence here in this place. That the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts may be truly acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. And let the people say, Amen. There were most likely two kinds of processionals coming in to Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday morning. We're familiar with the one we just reread again. From the east, Jesus rode a young donkey coming down the Mount of Olives, cheered by his supporters and his followers. We don't know how many of them there were, 20, 200, 2,000. It doesn't tell us. But it was clearly organized ahead of time, with a young colt at the ready. And there was likely a different processional coming in from the west, from the imperial headquarters on the Mediterranean coast, what is known today as Caesarea by the Sea or Caesarea Maritima. It was the standard practice of Roman governors of Judea to be in Jerusalem at the time of big holidays, just to be sure that nothing got out of hand, because there's usually a large influx of faithful people from around the surrounding areas. And this is what an imperial procession most likely would have looked like, with the Roman-appointed governor, Pontius Pilate, who we hear about again later in the week, arriving with a cavalry of horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on the metal and the gold. The marching of feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums, the swirling of dust, and the eyes of the silent onlookers, some curious, some awed, some resentful. Pilate's procession displayed not only imperial power, but also Roman imperial theology. And according to this theology, the emperor was not simply the ruler of Rome, but the Son of God. It said so on the currency, a belief that went back at least 60 years before this date. And for Rome's subjects, Rome's Jewish subjects here in Jerusalem, this processional would have embodied not only a rival social order, but also a rival theology and an idea of who's ultimately in charge. And when we think about this imperial procession in this light, Jesus' Palm Sunday processional, the one that's told and commemorated year to year all over the world, Jesus' processional would have been a counter processional, signifying a different kind of loyalty, a different kind of constituency. An itinerant country rabbi rather than a Roman appointed governor, peasants instead of soldiers, palms and coats on the road instead of spears, banners, and golden eagles. If you and I pull the frame way back and try to get a God's eye view, right now you and I are part of the grand processional of humanity, stretching back to when we first got up on our hind legs and started making a life for ourselves. And as we hope and pray, stretching onward from our lives here right now, with humanity figuring out how to live ever more peaceably and sustainably on this garden home entrusted to us. When we read the headlines, we're not so sure. Here on Earth, each of us gets to choose which processionals we're part of, which loyalty we pledge, and to whom, and how we will go about it. Some of us are choosing to join the No Kings processional. Anyone do that yesterday? Standing up for what we believe and are the most important values of our nation, our culture, resisting and protesting against the ever-present creep of aristocracy and oligarchy. While others are deciding to march in the folly of war, endless drone strikes and missile strikes during the night, aggressively stirring up a hornet's nest of long pent-up resentments, slights, and hatreds. Some among us are joining the processional of white Christian nationalism, espousing an ideology about what this country should look like based on assumptions about its invasion and domination by European settlers. And others of us are trying to follow a procession of a more expansive Christian gospel, rooted in Jesus' teachings of compassion, forgiveness, and love as the fundamentals of the faith, and seeking to eliminate or ignore human-made boundaries of race, creed, gender, or ability. Now, these are all starkly defined, very specific choices, but each one of us has the choice at any time of which procession we're going to join in on. Are we joining the processional of unexamined knee-jerk responses or the processional of thoughtful analysis and education? Are we following the procession of hate and vindictiveness or the processional of empathy and inclusion? Are we following the processional of mind-numbing doom-strolling or the processional of active engagement in the fullness of life and with the living? There's a long tradition of treating Palm Sunday as Passion Sunday, signifying the original Latin meaning of passion or struggle, to be in the struggle with Jesus. And in doing that, we deliberately pivot our worship attention to the dark end of Holy Week. My guess is that most of us will not be here on Thursday or Friday night. It's too much like the news. I encourage those of you who feel courageous or adventurous or are trying to deepen your Holy Week experience to join us at 7 p.m. as we'll reflect liturgically on how the news of Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday resounds in our everyday lives. Today, we're doing something that we did about 5 months ago on All Souls Day, which is worshiping with a choral requiem. This requiem is not dark or foreboding. It does have a solemnity, but it also has, through its chords, hope and encouragement, weaving in some of humanity's favorite psalms, weaving through its sounds a sense of the eternal. The composer, John Rutter, was born a few months after the close of World War II, the end of a disturbing chapter in humanity's grand processional. He's been known globally for his leadership in the music of the Church of England, creating music that often comforts and inspires and warms our hearts. And he has said about his own requiem that he owes a lot to Gabriel Fauré, whose requiem we participated in on All Souls Day. This requiem is intimate rather than grand, contemplative and lyric rather than dramatic, consolatory rather than grim, approachable rather than exclusive. He wrote it with a sense of comfort and consolation in the shadow of his own bereavement after the death of his beloved father. So what I encourage us to do as we contemplate this Palm Sunday and take in the beauty of this work, which our musicians have so lovingly prepared for us, I invite us to think about the people who have comforted and inspired us, those friends, mentors, relatives, caregivers, and teachers who helped us find the procession of our lives, whose voices we hear in our ears and our minds as we walk this life together. The people who have helped us choose wisely or diverted us onto a different road by necessity. People who, by their example, their care, their compassion, their companionship, and their wisdom have helped us to live into hope, no matter how dark the procession becomes around us. Let us open our hearts and minds, our souls, to receive this gift of music and how it may inform our lives here together. Amen.